Hey there, this is Mike the General Zod at Baltimore Comic Con, and I am here currently with a master multitasker and one of my absolute heroes in comics. This is artist extraordinaire Arthur Adams.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good, thank you. I appreciate your talking to me while I'm trying to get a drawing for somebody done.
Yeah, that's
thank you for letting me do that.
You're being incredibly gracious for allowing us the opportunity to do this, and I can tell you this classic X-Men cover right here that I vividly recall is one of the very first comics I ever bought when I was in, I think, second or third grade.
I think I was in second or third grade when I drew it, so that's amazing.
See, he's a prodigy. So, Arthur, could you tell us what you've been recently working on?
Marvel just has me working on covers these days, and I have a creator-owned project that I'm trying to get going. I'm just going too slow on it, so hopefully my writer won't just leave me by the wayside anytime soon, although I well deserve being left by the wayside.
Can you tell us more about that project?
I cannot and will not.
Oh, okay.
But thank you for asking.
Fair enough. We can. We'll have visions in our heads as to what that possibly could be.
Lines of drawing.
There we go. So, could you tell me a little bit more? Like I remember, like I said, this is around when I was a kid. I remember I never quite got Longshot, but I know
that's okay. It's not required.
But I know that that is one of your first works in the industry.
It was. He was a funny one. I mean, that's the very first job I got. Ann Nocenti, who made up the character Longshot, had apparently asked absolutely everyone who could hold a pencil at Marvel Comics if they would draw it, and they all said no. And when she sent me the script, I understood why, because Longshot is a character whose superpower is that he's lucky. And I don't know how to draw that. But I really wanted to draw comics, so I took that job. And I'm glad I did, because it was I got to be friends with Ann Nocenti, and she's awesome, and she's full of amazing, fresh ideas. So it was a great opportunity. I'm really happy I did it.
That's awesome. Ann Nocenti made a lot of the books that I remember vividly from my childhood, like her run on Daredevil.
Sure. She was amazing on Daredevil, and she, working with John Romita Jr., his art just flourished so much working with her. I mean, he was already so good, and had been becoming such an interesting artist working on Iron Man, and then when he did Daredevil and was, remade up Mephisto and characters like that, because when I was a kid, Mephisto was just that red guy, and I was like, I don't know why anyone cares about Mephisto. I know he's supposed to be kind of the devil, but he's not scary. He's just a weird red guy. And then John Romita did what he did with him. He was suddenly like a monster. It was like really interesting.
It was always interesting. It's funny you mentioned the thing about Mephisto and how he was supposed to be the devil. That always makes me think of something I always thought was really strange when I was a kid, was that the Mafia didn't exist in Marvel Comics.
They did. They were the Magia.
The Magia.
They were the Mafia. I mean, there was a kingpin of crime.
Yeah.
They were there.
But it was like, I remember as a kid being like, what is the Magia? That doesn't make any sense.
I didn't have that problem. I'm sorry that you had this developmental issue where this was a difficulty for you. Because the F and the G are pretty close. They don't sound the same, but with the alphabet and all that, it's all right. You'll catch up.
It's, yeah, one day. I guess I got to dream big. Well, Arthur, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Very nice. Thank you very much for visiting.
And we look forward to that next creator-owned project, whatever it is.
Thank you.
Hey there, this is General Mike Zod at Baltimore Comic Con, and we're here with a legend in the comics industry for decades. This is Brian Azzarello.
Hey, how are you?
A legend.
He is a legend. I mean, the 100 Bullets is one of the is a book that's going to live on for ages, and I can say I was a huge fan of that book.
Thank you.
And I would like to, I mean, I guess the first thing to ask is, because like everyone's talking right now about Batman Damned, and what do they say? Any publicity is good publicity.
So,
Oh, I wish that were true.
So I guess the major question, I mean, the thing that's always in the news is certain portions of Batman's anatomy that made it into the book.
Yeah, but that's not the story at all. And I'm not happy that you're asking me about that.
Okay, we don't have to ask about
it.
No,
but you just did. So let's talk about it. Because if that's the story, let's make it a story. I mean, let's make it a discussion. The fact that has become something. That's like, that has nothing to do with the book, the content of the book. I mean, it's not like it's there for, it's not gratuitous, I don't think. I don't think it was a, it wasn't used for shock value. It's not, none of the cynical, reasons why it's there hold any water with me. It's part of the story. It's part of the show, his vulnerability, his humanity. I think it's important that he's naked in that scene, and it was from the get-go. I'm disappointed in the way that fans reacted to it. Certain fans, not everyone.
It does seem to bring back to an earlier time where people will be clutching their pearls.
No, you know what? It proves there are no mature readers, all right? This book's for mature readers, and it proves there are no mature readers. And if you guys grow up, you can get this kind of content. But if you don't, what happened with this book is going to happen again.
Understood.
Grumpy old man.
That's okay. You've earned the right to be a grumpy old man.
You've earned the right to be a grumpy old man.
I mean, it's just a dick.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have them.
Well, not all of us. Thank God. Or there would be none of us.
Nice.
So, can I ask more about the, because I know this is supposed to be the kind of the jumping off point for like a whole like new universe. Can you talk a little bit more about the...
Well, I don't think it is. I think it's like, I think that these books are, the whole Black Label is, they're not connected in any way.
Oh, so it's not a shared universe?
No, it is not a shared universe. No, it's the Black Label line is was created so people could tell stories, standalone stories about these characters that are slightly adult. Or more adult. I don't know. I crossed the line.
Did you? I mean, like...
Did I?
Well...
Fuck yeah, I did.
It's a good thing we're not edited.
No, I mean, it's like, obviously we crossed the line. Did we know we were crossing a line when we did it? No.
Do you think you're going to like experience some kind of repercussions for this?
I think there have been repercussions for it already, yeah. You don't think there's repercussions?
Well, I mean, with the news cycle the way it is, it's probably going to, I mean, it'll eventually...
No, it'll fall out of the news, but it's not going to fall out of the news. It's not going to fall out of the eyeballs of the powers that be. That's not going to change.
Interesting. So, I guess do you know what your next project is going to be after this?
Avengers? No, I don't.
Okay. The
that doesn't mean I'm not. I mean, look, I'll be fine.
Close it up,
John. All right. Well, this has been Brian Azzarello. I mean, if you could, do you want me to do a...
Can you say who you are and you're on Below the Belt Show and throw out a plug?
Hi, this is Brian Azzarello and I'm on Below the Belt. Of course I am.
Yeah, that's no pun intended. Thank you very much, Brian.